Hey, everybody. Welcome into the Tasting Room. It is December 18th, 1 week exactly until Christmas Day. So happy early Merry Christmas to all of you watching. Austin is not here once again. 2 weeks in a row. Last time it was a beer dinner that he forgot what time it started. This week, it's a much better excuse. He is on he and Lisa's baby moon. As you remember, in the first episode of this season, he told us they were expecting their first child. They're over in, I believe, Paris or somewhere in France right now. He was going to try to join us, but it was going to be 3 a.m. their time. And he let me know today that wasn't happening. But I told him, no problem. I already had a guest lined up. He was going to try to come on last week, and I was going to rip him about my Cowboys beating his Eagles. But then turns out my Cowboys maybe aren't that good because they got their you-know-what kicked yesterday against the Buffalo Bills. So I'm going to bring in my friend, former colleague, chief meteorologist at KJRH in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Michael Collier. How are you, sir?
Jonathan, it's wonderful to see you. I just want to, this gives you an idea how good of a friend you are right now, because the Eagles are on Monday Night Football right now.
I was just about to say, what are you doing? Why are you doing this?
I got, like, it's on, like, right next to me here. I'll actually just pan over real quick. It's actually on right there.
Okay. What's the score? I haven't even turned it on. What's
it? About to be 14-0. About to
Eagles
be.
Up?
It's, 7-0.
Okay. Did Jalen play?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Geno did not. Eagles look like they have a statement to they want to send out, so they're doing well. They're doing well. Yeah,
that
like
was debacle like, yesterday. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So you know, last Sunday Night Football was, you know, I took my kids their first Jack and Sophie to their first Eagles game because I had taken Reed to the Chiefs game a couple weeks prior to that. But you know, to see a loss to start off with their first game, I was a little bitter. I was a little bitter.
You were just conditioning them for being an Eagles fan, right?
Yes. You know, I mean, that's sad but true. That was my childhood right there. Mm. When I was rooting on Ty Detmer, BYU quarterback, or Coy Detmer, his brother.
Right. You did the whole Detmer family, basically. Yeah.
You got them all. And, you know, that's all I had to root on. I had their jerseys. I had them signed by them. I'm like, that's worth like 30 cents now.
That's funny. Yeah. I appreciate you doing this because you have a heart out because why don't you give everyone a tour? So let's do this. So you are currently working. You did the 5 and the 6. You have the 10 coming up on Channel 2 and watching the game. Uh-huh. So show everyone your digs right now and what it's like BTS in a news studio.
Yeah. So this is the actual set that we do the weather on. And behind me is the actual weather set, and I'll stand out of your way. And, I've kind of constructed this the way I wanted, but I'm going to say that I have requested this big giant screen to walk in front of for next year.
Okay.
So we'll see. Okay. We'll see everything. Yeah. Money's tight nowadays.
We'll see how that goes. Yeah.
Right. It's these days. It's like, do I still get to keep a job? Okay. That's what I'm looking for.
Does my paycheck clear? Okay. All right. We're good.
Am I still going to be here in 2 weeks?
Yeah. Right.
But this is the news desk, and you know, Karen anchors it by herself at 10, and then Naomi at 6 and 10 with her, and then Aaron Christie, who used to work with at 8.
I love Aaron Christie. Tell her I said hello.
I sure will. She's just a pleasure to work with, and you know, it's been fun having her over here, her second stint at Channel 2. And then we have these monitors, and this set was actually redesigned by our former news director. And what's funny about it is he you know, normally in a big company, you got to get capital improvement or, you know, get capital approval to spend money. And then this is the reason he's no longer with us. He took every manager's American Express card. I kid you not.
No.
And remodeled the new set.
No. I didn't know that. Oh, no.
I mean, listen, he knew he had a vision for it. I appreciate that about him. You know, and he wanted to get it done. But that's one of the many reasons he's no longer here still. So that's when I first came over to 2, and that was
okay.
It was wild, man.
Oh, I met him.
Did you?
Didn't we have like a interview or like a meeting in his office?
That was the second one.
Okay, that was the second one.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So I had two wild ones. The first two. The third, these are my direct bosses. Like, yeah, they're long. They're not even in the business anyway. The third one's great, and as actually the news director now at CBS Boston. And he's really cool. Love him. And the one we have now is really close to my heart because she's amazing. She was actually here with me when I first started and then went to Arizona to be assistant news director there and then came back. And she is, John, like, you know, this business, it can really suck.
Yeah.
Suck so bad. She is absolutely a darling. She's amazing. Unfortunately, you know, Amy, we had layoffs.
I was going to say, we have a bunch we could talk about if we wanted to.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Amy included. KTUL included, like we could talk about a bunch of different stuff if we wanted to delve into that world. But is all well on your side? Like the ship is running smoothly over there?
Ship's running smoothly. We have a great team of five meteorologists, which you know, I'm very glad to have. So I just hope that stays the same. Yeah.
Yeah. What you want to talk about KTUL for a second?
Man,
I mean, you can't say too much, but right, like, I get that. Well, so I'm not going to throw you under the bus. But like, no. What was your initial? I'll tell you mine. But what was your initial reaction when you heard what? I mean, I'll just say it. What Sinclair did to that station?
Yeah, devastating. You know, you and I spent many years there. A legacy station, used to be the number one station. It was one of the top one or two ABC stations in the United States.
I don't think people understand that, Mike. Like when I first, so I got there in 2011, January of 2011, Chris Lincoln was still the sports director. Rick Pendergraf was the weekend sports anchor. And I don't remember, it might've been Carlton, I think was the news director, yeah. Carlton Houston. And Pat had, we could go there too. If we wanted. No, but Pat had told me, Pat Baldwin, the old general manager at Channel 8, mm-hmm. that there was a moment in time for a decent amount of time in KTUL's history where you could take the ratings of the three other stations in Tulsa, double it, and it wouldn't have been half of what KTUL's ratings were because they were like the number two or number three ABC mm-hmm. station, like you said, in the entire country. Like it was unbelievable. Yeah.
I got there in 2001, and that was still at its peak. I mean, I remember doing a week. I was 20 years old then, remind you. And I remember looking at the ratings for a Sunday night because I filled in on the weekends, and it was a 22 rating, which, you got to know.
So for those of you that don't know, that's like share of the market, basically, is what that stands for. So 22% of every TV that was turned on in the Tulsa DMA,
all of Eastern
designated
Oklahoma.
Market area, or basically.
So 20% of a million.
Yeah, basically, we're tuned into one channel. Like that is insanity.
Yeah, for just 30 minutes, and so I thinking, man, that could fill up AT&T. You know, I was just thinking in my head how many people were actually watching that little newscast, and I was like, oh boy. Now, if we had a 22 rating.
So put it in perspective, like what's like channel six now pulls like tens, right?
That's
tens or 12s. Is that generous? Okay.
Yeah. It's,
but they're the market leader here in Eastern,
no doubt.
Northeastern.
Not
Oklahoma.
Trying to diss channel six. What they're doing is great. Yeah. And they're number one. Never will argue that whatsoever. Yeah. However, since the channel eight changes, this is crazy, but channel two is now the number two station at 10 o'clock. So it's, I didn't think that was going to have you know, I don't like profiting off of someone else's pain and sorry, you know, but I was shocked that people actually, because that doesn't happen in television. I mean, people just stick with the same station, but somehow that just really, I don't know, struck a chord with people.
Well,
I've never seen a dynamic shift like that.
It was partially the narrative that Sinclair just didn't think about that they were putting out there, right? That like, if I live in Tulsa, Oklahoma, why am I going to watch a news station that is reporting Oklahoma City news? Mm-hmm. And they did nothing to dispel that narrative and remind people like, no, like your sports director and sports reporter are in Tulsa. You have a news anchor in Tulsa. You have two or three reporters in Tulsa. So it's not Oklahoma City news in Tulsa. It's Oklahoma news, but you also have Tulsa news as well. And maybe they just didn't care. I don't know, but they did nothing to dispel that. So if I'm a viewer, and I can be honest with you, man, I've watched maybe I can count on one hand, probably three fingers, the amount of newscasts I've watched since I left the business in 2018. But like, if I were a regular watcher and I was a KTUL watcher and I heard that and was seeing the narrative that was put forward by the employees that were leaving, I would have switched too.
Yeah.
I 100% would have switched.
Were you there when Sinclair took over?
I was. Yeah.
Do you remember that meeting they had with those?
Yeah. Okay. So can we, I'm just going to pull the curtain back and I don't care. Yeah. Like, was his name David? Right. You can find me and sue me if you want. I don't fucking care at this point. No, but where like, I think I know where you're going, where the question was asked, like, why do you do what you do? Yeah. It was the worst. Okay. So anyone watching this or listening to this, right? You're at a news station that is supposed to be this journalistic beacon of like, you know, doing what's right for the community and for the country and reporting on the news regardless. And so that was the first person that, and I don't remember who it was. It might've been Maureen. It might've been, I don't remember who it was.
Liz. But
that was,
It was Liz. I'll never forget that the rest of my life.
So that was the answer, was like basically to that effect, right? Like, we're here to go ahead. Do you remember exactly what she said?
Yeah, he asked everybody, I want to know why you're here. And she, you know, raised her hand. It's like, yes, you, ma'am. I'm here because I love, you know, working with these people and I love the commitment to journalism. He's like, no, you're not. And I'm sitting there going, this is the, you know, the head honcho calling her out. I'm like, oh my God, she's got fired on the spot here. And she's like, oh no, I love it. He goes, okay, well then next paycheck, you won't get paid. We'll see how much you love it then. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
This is a welcoming introduction of meeting.
Yeah, and mind you, this was the first time we had met the brass of Sinclair that came in from Baltimore. Yeah.
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 That scared the crap out of me. Like,
he made it very clear that he was involved. Like, the only thing he cared about was making money.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And he even alluded to in that meeting, bringing the conglomerate, saying, you know, we have this station in Oklahoma City, and that was 9, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So I think it was always in the back of their head of wanting to do this, you know, and just trying to find the right time, I guess, to do it.
Sure.
And they thought in their mind, coming from East Coast station or East Coast company, well, you know, Channel 6 has the partnership. Why can't we do that? Channel 6 still has local. Everybody's exactly, here.
Right. Like, look, if I'm being totally honest from a business standpoint, like as a business owner, I understand what they're trying to do. Right. You have two sets of duplicate employees that are 90 minutes apart. So why not try to consolidate that? It makes financial sense to do so, but not in that world.
Like, you got to know that world. You got to know your customer, and that's
right.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. So I'm just devastated. I mean, like my friend Scotty, you know, 28 years. He's doing well. He's taking it really well. But you know, 28 years there. You know, and listen, as much as I say the bad, he did get a good severance. So at least there's some pad there, you know.
Prudence came up to say hi to you.
Oh, who is this?
You haven't met Prudence, have you?
No.
No. So Charlie's over there just eyeing me from the bed. This is Prudence. Aww. She was a COVID. She was the most expensive trip to a brewery I ever made. Yeah, okay, I went to Heirloom on a Saturday right before the pandemic, and they were doing a like Puppy Haven thing, and this was the result. So it was the most expensive brewery trip ever. But she's a sweetie.
How does Charlie feel about it?
They love each other. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if you heard him earlier. He snipped at her because she got into his space. But they play a lot and play.
How old is Charlie now?
He is 8. Gonna be 9 next year, I believe.
Hey, he's still young.
Yeah, and then she is turning 3.
Okay. So, what a she's sweet pup.
Oh, she's like trying to get up here. You want to get up in this, don't you? There's no room for you. I'm sorry. So I have a random topic I want to ask you about, because I don't know how this affects the meteorological.
Yeah, meteorological. Okay,
yeah, I was right. It sounded weird coming out of my mouth. Are you worried about the continued progression of artificial intelligence, of AI, when it comes to what you do?
No. Not yet.
I say worried about it, as in like, is it going to, I mean, you could use it to your benefit, obviously, but is there a scenario that you could think of where like artificially generated forecast could take the place of meteorologists?
Listen, I understand that, you know, I get that. I, you know, the Weather Channel's been using that for years, you know, all their automated local forecasts.
Shout out Molly McCollum.
Exactly. As a kid, you know, you watch local forecasts. That was all generated via AI in a way. No local guy here in Tulsa, or, you know, at the Weather Channel was putting in local forecasts for Tulsa whenever they had the local on the whatever it was.
Right.
So that's nothing new. You know, what we see in the research and just talking to the people, you know, the people want that human connection. And yes, if they want their forecast, they can go to their apps and get it. That's understandable. But weather can be, as you are well aware, volatile in this area. And there's still desperate need for someone walking them through it. Yeah. I don't care how good AI is. There's, you know, I just can't see a day and age where I'm waiting for a caricature to tell me, hey, you're fine. Your life's not in danger, you know?
To me, the only way I could see that working is a hybrid model, right? Where like, I mean, there's no way for, especially where we live, right? Mm-hmm. There's no way that AI could do storm coverage and like telling people they're safe and what street these storms. I mean, that's, and we'll talk about severe weather coverage in a minute, but like, there's no way AI could do that. But I wonder if on the, you know, the docile nights or whatever, if there's a company like Sinclair that all they're worried about is the bottom line, right? Where they come out with some model where it's like, okay, we're going to artificially make the forecast for the nights where there's no potential for severe weather, so you don't have to work those nights. We'll just pay you to work the nights where there's potential severe weather or something like that. You know, I wonder if a company will try that.
Well, I think the positive sign is that what we're seeing in, and even the company I work with, Scripps, you know, where they're taking out the anchors and really beefing up the content per se, weather is actually still a high priority with them. And not one meteorologist has any plans to be moved around or eliminated or anything like that.
That's awesome.
So there's still, they still see that weather as being a real, you know, hook for people. And I believe there are some laws with FCC that they actually have to have some live element in their newscast still. And that so weather fits that mold pretty, and it will always be a safety issue with the government. So, you know, if they want to have their license, they're going to have to continue on with some type of live aspect. So
you might be sheltered from all of the AI mess. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? When you said that initially, I first thought about my kids, you know, because just putting in, like, I was thinking, boy, man, writing all those essays as a kid would have been so much easier.
So much easier. Yeah.
I don't want them to go that way. I want them to, you know, learn. I know. And
could you imagine how quick we could have written like a 5-page report if all we had to do was go on to ChatGPT and be like, okay, reword that? Because now, like, if you pay for the ChatGPT 4.0 or whatever it is, whatever it's at now, like, there's questions, and I don't know if you do this, but there's like questions and things that it asks you so that it learns your voice and it learns, like,
oh, wow,
the way you like to talk and the verbiage you like to use and all this stuff. So you can legitimately, like, it knows about grass fire. And so if I use it for like social media content, it will write it as if it was writing as grass fire, like with what we do and the service that we offer and the, you know, target market that we go after. And then I can tell it, rewrite that as me, not as grass fire. And it will change the verbiage to be like the words I like to use. It's creepy, man.
I hope that these companies, and I think, you know, there's been a lot of chatter about putting restrictions on it.
There needs to be.
We can't have computers running this world or we'll become obsolete and that will end the world. So, you know, it's not good at all.
Speaking of computers running the world, so not too long ago, your job required like pen to paper, pencil to paper, drawing maps, you know, all of this different stuff. What's your normal, take the listeners and viewers inside baseball a little bit. So like what, how do you make a forecast right now? Like how does that work given today's technology?
Well, I always tell people this is a 24-hour job, at least for myself. I'm looking at data night, morning. It's easy. It's not like it's, I'm looking at like a baseball score, you know, I'm looking at every run all the time. And it's just like, I think of it as players, if they're in the game, it's just very fluid for them. So I, because I love weather, I'm always looking at it constantly. So, you know, in the morning I wake up, I'm like, oh, you know, see what systems are heading our way. So I already know what the heck's going to go on. So by the time I get here, I'll look at it a little closer and look at the data. And then also look at, you know, these computers drive numbers as well. And I want to see what they're spitting out for highs and lows. And, you know, when you're doing, after a while of doing it so long, you just kind of, you see trends and tendencies, you know, you pick up on. Mm-hmm. So each day we come in and we make our own forecast. But we're at the day and age now that way our system's set up is I don't have to do much tweaking at all because, one, our morning met Michael Sager is,
I love Sager.
He is the nicest
such
guy
a
in the
good
world.
Human. Yeah.
Good human. Incredible meteorologist. All my meteorologists are incredible. And I know I'm bragging, but yes, I.
It's okay. I love, you've built a good team. Yeah. You did a good job.
Yeah. Stay away. So what is the need for me to, unless some data comes in that's different, there's not much need for me to change a whole lot, you know? So there's tweaking going on. It's not a wholesale change. And that's good. Cause if we're doing wholesale changes, then something's wrong. And our data, as much as people give what meteorologists are time, our data is becoming pretty fluid. I would say through 4 days, once we get 5 to 10, it's still a little wonky.
But you were able, so just keeping it hyper local, what felt like a tornado. So that was the only time that straight line winds that came through. Was that Father's Day weekend?
Yeah.
Is that when that was?
June, yeah. Last week. Yeah.
That was the only time. So I went into my hallway and I grabbed the pucks and whatever, because I'm in Owen Park. So I'm on like the northwest side of downtown. Okay. And as it came through, it sounded like a tornado. And it was the only time that, because look, even when I was at Channel 8 and you were at 2, because we worked together, what, from 11 to, was it 15? When was your first year at KJRH?
16.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So it was a decent 17, amount of time.
Sorry, 17 I started.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's right. And so even when I was still at Channel 8, if it was severe weather and I was at home, I would turn you on. I would turn KJRH on.
Oh, thanks, man. Appreciate
but
that.
Because you knew it was, well, you're welcome, but it was also kind of selfish because you knew where I lived.
Yeah.
And I so there were times I would get text messages from you, or I would text you like, and you would take a break, you know, you would like go to get a drink of water or something. And you'd be like, no, you're good. Or like, you should watch it, you know, like one of those things. And so I just utilize that. Right. I was like, no, I'm good. Like Mike says I'm good. I'll just be an Oklahoman and go stand on my patio and watch the tornado, you know, go through. But this was one of the first times where I've actually had to shelter in place because it was coming right at me.
Yeah.
And the sound of that wind sounded like a tornado. But my point in bringing all that up is I feel like you guys knew that was coming a decent amount of time in advance, like days in advance.
Yeah. Yeah. I know people love to give meteorologists our time, and I get it. I get it because, you know, one snow event that we might see that, you know, in the extended that doesn't pan out, they're like, oh, they're always wrong. So it's a general blanket of, you know, oh, they're always wrong.
Sure.
But they do keep tuning in when there's really stuff going on.
Because
it's gotten really good in the first 4 days. Really, really good. And I don't really ever stress in 4 days. Now, once you get 5 to 10, that's when I'm a little like, So right now, let's say this will be interesting. Okay, so we're a week away from Christmas. right now it looks like the rain's moving out by Christmas morning.
So we'll see. It'll be interesting. Look back in a week, see what happens, and see where we're at.
So there are future models though. So is it showing snow? Is it showing anything in the any time in the foreseeable future?
It does get colder by the end of next week, but still no snow. There's no Arctic air available right now. So just the pattern we're in is just going to keep us milder. Now it'll become more of Canadian Pacific origin. So we'll go in the 40s, not like 20s or teens. What's interesting though is Asia is having one of the coldest winters on record. And so, if you want to know where the cold air is, that's where it's at right now. And can it flip and head our way, what we call cross Siberian air? Absolutely. But right now, no signs of it, but we're due. It's only a matter of time. Yeah.
Weren't we supposed to get decent amount of snow this winter, like the El Nino or the whatever? Like, wasn't it supposed to be decent?
Yeah. Most of our snows don't even come until February, March. Right. Historic winds, the blizzards, 2011 was February. And, you know, when I was younger, March used to be the big months. And those were El Nino years. So, were you working there when we had, Travis was still there.
So
were you there when Travis was there?
No, but I got there January of 2011, and within the first, it might have been early February, but there was a massive snowstorm, and I was stuck in our old house on like 41st in Peoria, and I couldn't get. So I was basically a roving reporter, sending in stories from
Greasers
and stuff. Yeah.
I'll never forget that the rest of my life.
I didn't have to stay at the dump on the hump or whatever we want to call KTUL. Yeah. Chris Lincoln had his whole, and it was mine. Yeah. Chris Lincoln.
Christopher
had his
Lincoln.
Own, hello again, Mike. had his own bedroom up there, basically. It was.
So I did the morning show back then. I just found out that we were pregnant with Sophie. And so, I mean, literally that. Like when it hit is when we found out.
Oh, wow.
And so just in my mind, I was in shock. I drove home. I was like, I'm going home. I don't care. And I remember Carlton, if you don't get back, that's on you. And I was damn determined to go home every day. And I did. I made it back. It was interesting because you would just see cars. That 2 a.m.
What were you driving at that point? You remember?
Well, I borrowed my wife's aunt's 4-wheel drive, a little Ford Escape.
Okay.
I did make it. However, I got stuck in the parking lot at Channel 8 one time, and it actually did damage to the under part because it's so. Oh, that was embarrassing. Very embarrassing. But I got home. Damn it. Took me 4 hours, but I got home.
Man. No one understands unless you worked at KTUL. So it's up on what we call in Oklahoma Lookout Mountain. It's a hill, right? But it's relatively steep. So if it's inclement weather and it's icy or it's whatever, like I know they are on like the front of the list for the city to come and sand and salt and whatever because of the service that they provide for viewers. But if you hit it at the right time or the wrong time, like it's dicey. It's dicey.
It's like a mini Colorado experience, I mean, there were so many times, especially in weather, that I had to go up there, like ice, and there's some white knuckling going on.
Sure.
Getting up that hill. And going down.
So is it true that you have someone can tune in and have the TV muted, and based on the level of clothes that you have taken off, be able to tell how severe the weather is? Does that hold true for you as well?
It depends how good of a shape I'm in.
Fair.
I remember one around this time of year, I tend to bulk up, that's what I tell everybody. It's a winter weight. One person emailed me and was like, "Hey man, looks like you had too many tacos this Christmas season."
That asshole.
I know. So I was like, "Oh yeah, I'm going to keep the jacket on here." And if we get in later spring, summer, like I had it off for the the June one, because then I was running, I was losing weight, I felt good.
Sure.
I guess it's a vanity thing or insecurity. I don't know. Yeah, you know, I mean,
you kind of live in a vanity world. Like, you have to care about how you look, right? I mean, it's
yeah. You know, it's not.
I mean,
so
you
much
do wear
anymore.
Makeup every night.
I don't.
So do you not?
Nope.
Have you ever?
I haven't worn makeup in 7 years since.
No
I've been
kidding.
Here.
Okay.
Yeah, you can kind of see the shine.
Yeah, not even a little powder up there just to take the shine away. No.
Mm-mm. Okay. And that's just not, I'm not saying, oh, I'm so pretty.
I have a newfound respect for you, Mike Collier. I like that.
Well, when I got here, there's some, I don't know, their lighting's a lot better than it was over the other station I did all the time. Here, yeah. I don't know, there's lighting on, or maybe I'm just getting old now and don't care.
Well, I mean, I don't remember. I know Carlton would bring him in. I don't remember if it was AQ as well or Phil, but they would bring in like consultants who would judge you on like the makeup you were wearing and want to see what kind of makeup you had. And I'll never forget like going into Saks, because I would put on like, I would get MAC powder.
The
good shit, right?
Yep.
But like going up and asking for like, and bringing it with me to get a refill, and they're like, oh, it's so sweet that you're buying makeup for your significant other. And I'm like, well, yeah, I'm that good of a boyfriend. Yeah, you're right. Yep.
Yeah.
Go ahead, bag it up. Like, I got this.
There is something weird about buying makeup as a male. I'm just going
to
say it.
No offense to anybody out there listening that wears makeup. Like, you do you.
Right, yeah. Yeah, you do you.
Yeah.
But when you're not used to it, and you know it's not custom, it's a little weird. A little different.
So the typical loss of clothing for a meteorologist goes jacket. Like, if you're wearing the jacket and the tie, it's like, okay, like we're safe. If the jacket comes off in the middle of a forecast, then it's like, okay, like
they're
a little worried about something, you know.
When it gets hot, the lights on all day, it gets toasty in here.
But then if the tie comes off and the sleeves roll up, then it's like, okay, we're in this for the long haul.
I've never gotten to where the jacket's been off, sleeves rolled up. I've never gotten the tie off.
Okay.
Because I always feel like there's got to be some level of decency there.
Do you ever loosen it and then unbutton the top button?
No, just weird and mentally. If I'm taking the jacket and sleeve, I keep it somewhat tied together.
I mean, you're talking to someone who would go on air wearing jeans and vest with a hood and a jacket and a t-shirt. So
but you have the style, you can pull that off. I will say this, we did an experiment for 6 or 7 months where I didn't wear a tie, it was just jacket and
I remember shirt. That
I actually probably could go back to that now. My mother-in-law's texting me, so I pull and I flip that.
Oh, no, you're good. You're good.
Where someone called the GM's office and was like, what the hell are y'all doing? And that ended that right there. One person.
No kidding.
One person. It took
one
person.
Okay, let's talk about people that call into news stations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can we give a shout out to one of our former coworkers who was the best, and I'm going to let you guess who I'm talking about, who was the best at answering the phone during severe weather for people that would call bitching about why their show on Saturday or Sunday night wasn't being shown?
Is it Mark Bradshaw?
Yvonne Lewis.
Oh, Yvonne. Yes.
She would get this attitude with her, and she would just tell them off and hang up on them. And I was like, oh, she's.
Where is Yvonne these days? Do we know?
You know, I actually I don't know why I went down this rabbit hole, but I ran into Neely Jones. We get our haircut at the same place, apparently, and different people, but same place. And we had our haircut at the same time the other day, and we were just talking, and that sent me down this rabbit hole. So I Googled, or like I went on Facebook and looked at Yvonne, and I think she's a counselor somewhere. So she's doing doing counseling. I believe so, but don't quote me on that.
Certain people, Moss, that I'm shocked that are out of television, that I never thought would be out of television.
Yeah.
Like Yvonne being one.
Is she one of them? Yeah.
Yeah.
She had that mama bear nurturing, like just persona, you know? So
yeah,
if she was not going to be in TV, being a counselor would be 100% where I place her.
Right. And yeah. I'll just claim that I'm happy for them.
Sure. Yeah.
Suck so bad.
Yeah.
Just awful at times. But I just never suspected her, because she's that consummate professional. Like, she just has the look, you know?
Right. And she was really good. Yeah.
She was, amazing.
Do you remember the shank that she had on set?
The what?
The shank. It was basically a shank. So she had taken, I don't remember what, it was like connected to her pen. So like she had a pen that she would use to like make notes on her scripts as they were being changed in her ear. But she had filed down. So she had like somehow attached, I think it was like a spoon or something to it so that she could always find it. But she had filed down the tip of the spoon.
Oh my God.
To where it was so sharp. And I remember one night I was like, Yvonne, what is that? She without missing a beat was like, it's my shank. Don't act up. I was like, okay. I hear you.
I miss Yvonne.
Yeah.
I miss Frank is another one. Frank Mitchell.
Yeah. I love Frank, who's now doing financial advising, right?
Yeah. Just, you know, I just suspected he always liked the limelight, you know, liked to be in the center of it. I thought I couldn't see him outside of it. So that was, that was always a big shock to me.
Well, you're leading me down this road. So let me ask you. So we've had a couple opportunities together, or at least one where you had considered, you know, an exit plan from the TV world,
which didn't work out.
No, but like, and then I knew of another one that you were considering with it didn't involve me, but as an exit from the TV world.
Mm-hmm.
But you're still there. So is this now like, are you in it for the long haul, or is it just a, you don't want to bite the hand that feeds you, you're making a good living, like you don't want to risk it at the moment? Like, where are you mentally with what you're doing, and how long, you know, do you see yourself doing anything else basically?
That's a great question for down the road.
Yeah, you probably can't answer that right now. I'll put you in a pickle where you can't say that. But let me ask you, if you weren't doing this, what would you want to do? Like, what excites you?
Sales.
Okay.
Like, I would love to sell something. You know, it's like, I don't know if I could. I'm so used to having like a constant salary. I don't know if I could handle the stress of not.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that risk reward type thing. But I would love to like be able to talk to people and help find their need and help them out. That's what I would love to do.
Sure. I apologize for putting you in a position where you can't answer that question. That wasn't smart of me. But you'd be good at that though.
Oh, thank you. Just in a weird time in this industry. So I'll just,
I have productions you can sell whenever you're ready. So you just, you just holler at me.
Okay.
Let's see. I'm going to let you go in about like 10-ish minutes, 'cause I know you got some stuff to do at 9 o'clock.
Hold on, Mike. My bum ear has just kicked out
just kicked out the AirPod.
Like,
I don't think that was on this we were live when we were talking about that. So what happened to your ear?
So I went to the quick story. Chiefs Eagles game is rainy and cold that whole day. It's so loud at Geha Stadium, whatever they call it.
Arrowhead, but
I just, Geha was like, they gave us Geha hats. It's like, they just desperately wanted you to call it Geha. So I've been calling it Geha.
Not going
to
happen, guys. Sorry.
Yeah, I know. Anyway. So it was cold. I was with my son and time of our lives. It was great. And then a couple of days after, I was like, oh, I think my ear's clogged, you know, no big deal. And then a week later, it's like, well, this is still clogged. So the doctor got steroids. I think maybe it helped a smidge. And then a couple of days, it was like, man, this is really clogged again. So I called my doctor, who's extremely booked. And he's like, here's some antibiotics. Let's try that. Then I went back to urgent care, and then I got steroid drops for my ear and, you know, stronger nose spray, prescription strength, and still I can't hear. I'm at a 50% loss of hearing in my left ear.
Dude.
And it sucks.
That's because you're scary. Yeah.
Yeah. You're constantly blowing your nose, like trying to pop it when it's.
Oh, so it even feels like it's. Mm-hmm. Oh, dude, I hate that.
Yeah, it's frustrating. I've done everything known to man, you know, Google.
You think it was AI. A crowd noise?
I don't know if it's like The tubes are jacked up from getting maybe a cold after the game or something and allergies, and it just is remained swollen. The thing is, the urgent cares I went to, they're like, they can't see for some reason. They can't see up there. We did the wax clean out and everything to make sure there was no blockage, and there wasn't, but they can't see up into my, the Eskin tubes or however you say that, the eardrum. They can't see it, so they can't really say. So I've got to wait till January 22nd to see a specialist. And I'm just like, oh, come on. Get me in. Man. I need help.
That scares me, because you know what I've noticed? I have the, what's it called? Tightness or whatever that is when you hear like the ringing in your ears.
Yeah.
And it's worse in the ear that I would wear my IFB.
IFB in. So yeah, that is a part of it too. I do have the ringing in my ear. Yeah.
Dude, I hate that. There are times where, like, if I, it's just something you learn how to live with, right? And so 90% of the time, maybe 95% of the time, I don't notice it. But there will be times if I'm like, and it happens when I'm trying to go to sleep sometimes or whatever. And I think it can be worse with stress or worse with alcohol or worse with like whatever, you know, there are stimulants for it. But like, where it will bother me to the point where like, I don't know how I'm going to fall asleep. Because I'm hearing, like, because now I'm concentrating on it, right? Yeah, I'm in my own head. Right. And it's like, oh. And then I'll, like, try to turn on brown noise on my phone, or I'll try to do something to, like, counteract it. Dude, it's...
So there's... Yeah. I have learned in all my many YouTube videos, there's this trick where you cover your ears and you tap with the back finger on your head. And it starts...
Like back here?
It
makes, like back behind? Okay.
Yeah, so you tap... Okay. And it actually sounds like you're ringing the bell, that constant ring. It sounds like you're ringing a bell in your ear.
Oh, wow.
And so by that ringing, your mind hears it stop for a second and can actually stop it.
Okay.
Now, the problem with mine is that will last for about 2 minutes.
Right.
And it's back.
Maybe long enough for you to fall asleep if you're really tired. Yeah.
Yeah. But then I can't hear still. So I'm just like, it's still frustrating. Man. I don't know, man. I'm getting old. It sucks. But hopefully there's a quick fix to this and I can actually see a doctor and can give me some guidance.
We're going to know it's bad if you start missing your cues because you can't hear out of your ears. We turn on channel 2 and it's just like, let's go to Mike for the weather. And it's like,
what'd you Mike? Say? I can't hear you.
Oh, sorry. You know what? I didn't hear you. Yeah.
It's so bad that if a doctor said, oh, you have hearing damage, you're going to need a hearing aid. I'm like, okay, sign me up so I don't have to deal with this. Oh,
I'm sorry, man. That's rough.
It sucks. It's so random. And so, and maybe the sound of those game, maybe I have damaged here because it was loud there.
Yeah.
Loudest I've ever
concerts.
Experienced.
I mean, you've been, you know.
But also, I just think maybe the combination of the cold too. It's 'tis the season, you know?
True. Before I let you go, you have to explain to everyone how a Tulsa kid became an Eagles fan.
Very simple.
How does that happen?
Yeah, my dad's from Philadelphia. My brother and sister are from Philadelphia. They live there still. My dad worked for city service in Philadelphia and got transferred out to Tulsa and was married at the time and had my half brother and sister, and his wife and him moved out here. And she was like, hell no, I'm going back to Philly. And so she left him. And, I'm not going to take his story and make him whatever, but it didn't work out. So then a year later, he actually met my mom working at Citgo Petroleum, which became Citgo. And so, later down the line here, I came. So, you know, dad being Eagle, my brother, who I love, you know, Eagle, huge Eagles fan, go to season tickets, whatever. It's a family thing, you know, and it was I felt like it was a curse growing up because all those Cowboys Super Bowls and I'm the lone stupid Eagle fan.
I mean, but then we had some lean years as well. So it, you know, the Quincy Carter years, we had some years. Yeah.
Well, I have to say, I mean, since then, I don't know if you all really have had a year, you know?
We really haven't, no. And I was cautiously optimistic after last week that, you know, this year could be a year where, because I'll be honest with you, like, I don't know how good Philadelphia is. I don't know how good Dallas is. I don't know how good Philly is. I know San Francisco's good, but I don't know, you know, I don't think either of us as currently constituted, the way we're playing at this moment, would beat San Francisco in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
the 49ers. Yeah. They're freaking awesome.
They're good. How's your fantasy football team, by the way?
Always. I'm a perpetual 6-7, that 500.
Just enough to make the playoffs, maybe, if you get lucky.
Maybe. Yeah. I'm always the last one out. I'm like, really? And I, that's all the podcasts I listen to. I am like the most informed fantasy person.
Well, you and Caden do like a fantasy podcast, don't you? Yeah. You've got to be better than that.
Well, you know, I've just resorted it is 80% luck.
It is.
I mean, just, you know, stupid. Like, real quick, being at the Chiefs game, I have AJ Brown. I needed 6 points from him to win. I would have got made playoffs because I would have enough wins then. Six points, and I'm there. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to watch this, and I'm going to get 6 points. And he got 4 that game. And I'm
I will keep you. Yeah. Yeah.
AJ Brown, like, he's had more than that just in this half of this Monday Night Football.
Sure. I will keep you in mind. So I started a dynasty league.
You did?
Yeah.
And you didn't invite me?
Well, it was, so I need one more. If you know, I had an even number of people that wanted to do it. And so I couldn't bring in like 11. So I need like one more to make it 12. So that one is, if you can find another, we can make it 12 for next season. Yeah. Yeah. We'd have to figure out how that works. Rookie drafts? So that's the thing. So the first draft was long, right? It was like 25 rounds or something because it was all players. And then every subsequent year, it's whoever's in the free agent pool and rookies. Okay. And then, so there's a little bit of strategy involved there because you're trying to build both like to win now, but then also for the future with younger players. And so I'm trying to package a deal. I'm in the championship game next weekend or this coming weekend. Against my dad, actually. Yeah. And my team is ridiculous, like ridiculous. And so I should win, you know.
Okay.
But I'm trying to package a deal for the draft because I really want Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to package a deal where I send Travis Kelce, because I have Michael Mayer, the rookie for the Raiders, to play tight end. And so I want to send Kelce. I want to send my first round pick. And I want to send, like, right now, I have a couple receivers on the bench, Calvin Ridley, just a couple, like, decent players on the bench that I might be able to package and get, like, the number 2 pick, hopefully. That's my hope.
Okay.
But, yeah, I'll keep you in mind.
Is it auction or snake?
So, it's neither. It is traditional. Oh. So, like, it's just like the NFL, right? So, if you're the worst team, you get the first pick, but then you also get the first pick in the second round.
Okay.
And so it just resets every round.
I got you. Is there team defenses and kickers?
No. So there's 3 defensive players. You have to have a defensive lineman.
So it's an IDP league. Okay.
Yeah. You have to have a defensive lineman, a linebacker, and a defensive back / safety.
That's tough.
But that's it can win you games. Like, I've had close. Roquan Smith is one of mine. Daron Bland from the Cowboys, who's had more pick sixes than some receivers have had touchdowns. Like, they have won me games, you know, just because they got 12, 15, 20 points as individual ESPN, defensive
sleeper
players.
Or Yahoo?
Sleeper.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Are there kickers?
No.
Okay, good.
I did not do kickers. No.
Thank God. Yeah.
You're a former soccer player. You should love kickers. What are you talking about?
No, not in fantasy. I just thought it was stupid. Yeah. You know, like, you just, when there's no, even like 2% skill or, you know, knowledge of anything. You just take some random duo. I mean, it's worth
15 a team with points. A good offense. You take their kicker.
And that's just dumb.
All right, man. I'm going to let you go. You got 10 minutes. Yep. So you got to do some cut-ins for the 10 o'clock. I appreciate you. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, man. Have a good one. It's good talking to you.
All right, man. See you, Mikey.
All right, see ya.
Bye. That is Mike Collier, chief meteorologist at KJRH here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That was a little bit more of a locally centric podcast than we normally like to do, talking about, you know, things that are happening in the world of the hospitality industry or whatever it is we normally talk about. But Mike's a good buddy of mine. You can tell he's passionate about what he does, and he's also really good at what he does. So if you're in the viewing area in northeastern Oklahoma, I encourage you to check out Mike's forecast on KJRH. He usually does the 5, 6, and 10. So that does it for this week's episode of the Tasting Room live stream / podcast. If you guys don't know, I've talked about it a few times. This live stream, if you're watching it now, you obviously know this. If you're listening to this as a podcast, the live stream starts at 8 o'clock every Monday night, goes until roughly 9 o'clock. I think we'll get out of here a couple minutes early tonight. When Austin is in the chair next to me, we usually go a little bit past 9 o'clock. We will take viewer questions and comments and all of that fun stuff. So feel free to tune in to the Grass Fire Podcast YouTube page. I normally put it on my Instagram feed as well with a link to it, which is John Moss TV, short for television. Haven't changed it since I left KTUL back in 2018. Austin should be back next week, I believe so, unless he has another beer dinner that he forgot about the timing of it. But I'm assuming and I'm confident that he will be next to me next week, and we can talk about his trip to France, talk about the beer dinner, talk about all sorts of stuff. So we will see you then next week on the Tasting Room. Take care, guys. Oh, and by the way, it will not be Monday because that's Christmas. So it will be Tuesday the 26th. That's kind of important for you guys to know. So we'll see you next week on the Tasting Room. Take care.